We're just going to look in the Word of God for a couple minutes this morning. Reading the Scripture of the week, and I'd just like to touch on Acts chapter 26. Just going to talk for a few minutes about the Apostle Paul telling his story about how he gave his heart to the Lord and different things. And it's important for us, you know, to realize that God has called us to share the good news and to talk about what he's done for us and how he saved us and delivered us and whatever the case might be. The story here in Acts chapter 26 is about the Apostle Paul. And if you read back in a couple chapters earlier, chapter 24 and chapter 25, you find out that Paul was in Jerusalem. After many years, Paul went up to Jerusalem to take an offering up. And he went into the temple, and the Bible says purified himself according to the custom of the Jews, because he was Jewish. And went into the temple, and some of the people that were there that were living in other parts of Asia recognized him. And because Paul, by this time, had gone around and preached the gospel in a number of places. And out in the other places, Paul got beaten and put in prison. And remember all these stories, and went into places and shut down pagan businesses because people got saved and stuff like that. So everybody got kind of upset with Paul. Paul went into Ephesus in Acts chapter 18, 19, around that area. Paul went into Ephesus one time, and chapter 16, I guess it was. He went into Ephesus, or Philippi. And as he was in Philippi, he cast a demon out of a young girl and threw all their business out of whack because everybody was making money off this girl, telling fortunes and everything else. And all of a sudden, she lost that power to do that. As Christians, I just throw this in, as Christians, you should never go to a palm reader, tea leaf reader, crystal ball reader, all that old foolishness. And because every time it's mentioned in the Scriptures, it's always from the devil. And anyway, Paul cast the devil out of her that was causing her to be able to do this. And she couldn't do it anymore. And the people that were making money off her got mad at Paul. And they went to the magistrates of the city and they got Paul put in prison. And a couple of years ago, we were over in Bulgaria and went to Greece. It was in Greece today, Philippi. And in Bible days, it was in Macedonia. And we went to Philippi and we saw the prison where Paul was put in there, Paul and Silas. And they say the cell that they were in, this is the one we were looking at, from what they're saying, anyway. But we saw that, and they were cast in that prison. And you know the story, at midnight, the Bible says they started to sing praises to God. The prison shook, and the doors were open, and they all got out and different things. And then the jailer got saved and all these different things. But Paul was always causing a commotion everywhere he went. And as he was going around preaching and different things, he always stirred up the hornet's nest, so to speak. And got put in prison and all kinds of trouble. So this is what these other chapters are about. So when Paul came into Jerusalem, this is, you know, several years later, came into Jerusalem to bring an offering to the Lord and everything else, to his nation, he called it, to the Jewish, you know, people, the worship system and all these different things. And as he came in there, some of the people from these other cities and towns where he visited recognized him. And they went after the Jewish leaders, and this is the fellow who's causing all the problems out around all these other places. And the Bible says he stirred up such a fuss that they took Paul and they were going to kill him. And somebody ran and told the soldiers about it, and they came in and rescued Paul and then trying to figure out what took place. But anyway, before we look any further into that, let's bow together and ask God's direction. Father in heaven, we're so thankful today to be able to come into your presence. We thank you for the Holy Spirit. We thank you, Lord, for the Word of God. And once again, Father, we approach it reverently and humbly. We ask that the Spirit of God would enlighten our understanding. Father, that we would see things in this that we can use in our own lives. Help us, Lord, not to be hearers of the word only, but, Lord, to be doers of the word. We thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your blessings upon each one of us this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. So anyway, if you're back in chapter 23, 24, 25, in these areas, we don't have time to read all of them. I just giving you a quick rundown of what was in there. As Paul was there, they took him, and the Bible says they were going to kill him. And the soldiers came in and rescued him. And one of the chief captains or the leader of the soldiers, his name is Lysias. And when he came in, he took Paul and put him in prison to try to figure out what's going on. Why is everybody so mad at this fellow and different things? And Paul was a Roman citizen, and it wasn't legal for them to judge a man. And the Jews would take you and kill you if you went against your religion. Same thing as the Muslims are today. You went against your religion, there's no questions, they just wipe you out. But the Romans stepped in. And they said, we're not going to judge anybody until he's proven guilty and he's got a chance to face his accusers and see what you know, it's like our court systems today. As a matter of fact, our court systems came a lot from these systems that were set up by the Roman government. And they said, we're not going to judge anyone until we find out what the fuss is all about and give him a chance to answer for his own self and different things like this. So anyhow, this is the situation. And he took Paul and he put him in prison. And Paul, they brought Paul out and they sort of asked him a few questions. And then the Bible's talked about there were Jews that had their mind made up. They weren't going to eat or anything until they had Paul killed. And the message got to the Roman government anyway, or the leaders there, and they moved Paul to a town called Caesarea. And as Paul was there in Caesarea, the Bible says they put him in prison. He was there for 2 years. And there's a fellow there named Felix. Now, he is a Roman governor of that area. And he got Paul out, and he asked Paul the questions and different things, and asked the Jewish leaders and all these different things. And they couldn't come to any concrete charges against Paul. As far as Festus is concerned, this is nothing, only a religious fuss about something that you fellows believe, that Paul believed, and you fellows believe Festus wanted nothing to do with it. But he is afraid to let Paul go because the Jews are going to try to kill him. And in the meantime, Festus, his term of office came and went, his term of office came and went, and another guy came into his place named Festus. And when he came in, the Jewish leaders went after him. He was a new leader. They went after him. It's almost like when you go to a church, you know, all the people come to you and say, this person, this is your problems. This person, that person, that person, that person. And this is what they were doing to Paul. They came to Festus. They said, here's your problem. Here's Paul. He's in prison, and we want to, you know. And Festus said, well, he said, I got to see what this is all about. So he called him out. He went down to Caesarea, where Paul was in prison now for 2 years. Paul, you know, a lot of times, we mentioned this a while ago in our Bible study. A lot of times we read about the Apostle Paul, but his ministry, or Peter, or someone else, we read, you know, the wonderful things that God did through them, like to cast demons out of people, to heal the sick, and all these different things. But we forget to read the verses where he said they stayed in that area a year and a half. Or he stayed somewhere for 3 years, and nothing happened. You know, we forget these parts. And here, we read all the things about Apostle Paul, but we forget that Paul was locked up in prison for 2 years, and nobody's heard from him. For 2 years, Paul was in prison, just patiently waiting. And when Festus came to office, and as I said, the Jewish leaders came to him, and now they figured he's a new guy. And he's, matter of fact, Felix was part Jew, Festus rather was part Jew. He was married to a Jewish woman, I think it was. And anyway, he came in, and they said, well, we'll go to him, and we'll get him to destroy Paul. And they came to him, and Festus, man, I get so many names mixed up here. Festus said, he said, we'll go down to Caesarea ourselves. And he said, you fellows come along with me. He said, if you've got charges against Paul, he said, we'll do it there in Caesarea. So they came down the next day, the Bible says, they came to Caesarea, and they brought Paul out. And as Paul came out, the Bible talks about he came out and changed and different things. And he started to give a bit of a testimony of what they were charging against him, all these different things. And the Jews said what they had to say against him, and still there was no concrete evidence against him one way or the other. And so Festus said, well, he said, I really don't know what to do. He said, but he said, King Agrippa is passing by pretty soon. He said, we'll get his opinion. And what happened, Festus is there, and he said, the Jews said, they want him killed. And Festus said to Paul, he said, would you come back to Jerusalem? He said, we hold the case back there. He said, where all the Jews are at so they can bring their accusations. And Paul knew, because the Bible says the people, they were asking for Paul to be brought back to Jerusalem, because on the way back, they were going to ambush him and kill him, ambush the caravan taking him back. And Paul said, no, he said, I'm a Roman citizen, and he said, I'd rather be charged and judged in Rome. And he said, I appeal to Caesar. And once anybody appealed to Caesar, that had to be carried through. So they took Paul and put him back in prison again, and a few days later, King Agrippa came. And this is where chapter 26 comes in. Chapter 26 comes in, and Paul was brought out, verse 1 in chapter 26. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, he said, you are permitted to speak for yourself. And Paul stretched forth his hand and answered for himself. And he said, I think myself happy, O King Agrippa. He said, because I shall answer for myself this day before thee, touching all the things where I am accused of the Jews, especially because I know that you are an expert in all the customs and questions that are among the Jews. He said, and I ask you, to hear me patiently. Now, King Agrippa had a Jewish background. He grew up Jewish. So Paul knew that King Agrippa knew the Jewish rules and laws and religion and everything else. And Paul figured I would get a good chance to, question him. or talk to him. And so anyway, it goes on. I'm just going to make it short here. Paul goes on and he starts to give his testimony. And he starts to talk about, he said, in verse 4 there, he said, "My manner of life from my youth, which was at the first among my own nation at Jerusalem," he said, "all the Jews know about how I was as a young person. He said, which knew me from the beginning, if they would testify, that after the most straitest sect of our religion, I lived as a Pharisee." Now, there were three groups, we would call them today probably denominations. But in Paul's day, these are different groups within Judaism. We got a lot of groups today within Christianity. We got the Catholics, we got the Muslims. Or back that up. They're not in the Christian church. We got the Catholics, we got the the Anglicans, the Baptists, the Pentecostals, Presbyterians, and all these different things. These are groups within Christianity, within Christendom. Well, in the Jewish religion, they have three groups. Two you read about in the New Testament quite a lot. The Pharisees and the Sadducees. But there's another group called the Essenes, E-S-S-E-N-E-S, the Essenes or something like that. And this group, you don't read about them in the Scripture, but they believe these are the groups. Remember, you've all heard talking about the Dead Sea Scrolls? The Essenes, I think it's called. The Essenes, they were the ones that, they, as far as they know, that hid those scrolls, kept them in safekeeping for, over the years. The Essenes lived outside of, they didn't believe in mingling with people. They felt, it's almost like the monks today. They go off to themselves and live somewhere else. This is what they were like. But most of what we have is the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And the strictest of all the three groups were the Sadducees, or the Pharisees. The Pharisees, now they believe what we would call today Orthodox, Scripture. They believe in the resurrection of the dead. They believe in demons. They believe in angels. They believed, on paper, they believed everything they should have believed. But in reality, they didn't practice it. It's like a lot of Christians today. We believe what's in the Bible, we say, but in reality, sometimes we don't practice it. But these people were like that. And so anyway, Paul said, he said, I was amongst, in the Jewish religion, he said, I was amongst the strictest of them all. He said, I was a Pharisee. And he goes on down and he starts to talk about, he said, and I'm going to paraphrase to make it short here, but you can read chapter 26 and you find it for yourself. Paul said, and he said, against this way, Christianity, Paul talked about how he was so much against Christianity, so much against the Christians. He talked about how he said, I would take them, he said, and put them in prison. And he said, when they were condemned to death, he said, I signed the paper. I voted against them to have them killed. The Bible says when Stephen was killed, the Bible says they took off their jackets, the people that were throwing stones at Stephen, took off their jackets and laid it down at the feet of a young man named Saul. This is Paul the apostle later. But they laid it down at his feet because Paul had condemned them to death. So Paul said, I was very desirous, he said, to get the Jewish religion out front, and anything that stood against it, like Christianity, Paul said, I was there to wipe it out. This is what he's talking about there. And he goes on to say, down in verse 11, he said, I punished them often in synagogues, in every synagogue, and compelled them to blaspheme. He said, I tried to make them blaspheme against God. And being exceedingly mad against them, I persecuted them even on the strange cities. Paul said, I hated the Christians so much, he said, I persecuted them even on the strange cities. Then he goes on to say, he said, whereupon, as I went to Damascus, which is in Syria today, he said, with authority and commission from the chief priests, at midday, O king, I saw in the way a light from heaven, above the brightness of the sun, shining around about me, and them which journey with me. And when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking to me and saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And I said, who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus whom you persecute. Now, Paul was, just a couple of thoughts there. Paul was riding into Damascus, you'd say, on horse. And he had others with him, and they were carrying letters from the chief priest. They're going in there, they're going to hunt down the Christians, they're going to drag them back to Jerusalem and have them put in prison and tried and probably killed or whatever the decision was made. But anyway, he was trying to stop them from preaching the gospel. And as he was going, the Bible says at midday, he said, a light shone from heaven, he said, brighter than the sun, and he said, we all fell off the horses, we fell to the ground. You read this in Acts chapter 9, Paul is just telling a story again, but Acts chapter 9 is when it really happened. And Paul is just giving his testimony, we'd say, and they're telling his story. And Paul said, we heard a voice from heaven, and the voice said, Paul, or Saul, at that time his name was called Saul, he said, why are you persecuting me? And Saul was looking around, he said, "Who are you?" And the voice said, "I am Jesus, whom you're persecuting." Now you got to understand, this was a shock to Paul, because Paul thought that Jesus was the greatest imposter that ever lived. You know, Paul thought that Jesus was absolutely, totally against God. He was an imposter and everything else. But now all of a sudden, Jesus was crucified, long before this, and resurrected and everything else. Paul didn't believe in the resurrection, and all of a sudden, he heard this fellow that was supposed to be dead speaking to him, this Jesus. And Jesus, "I am Jesus whom thou persecuted." Now, you got to understand, when Paul was fighting against the church, Jesus took it personally. When you're fighting against the church, God takes it personally. I mean, Paul wasn't fighting Jesus. Jesus is in heaven. But as long as he was fighting the church of God, Jesus took it personally. He said, "Why are you persecuting me? Why are you causing problems for me?" And anyway, Jesus said to him, he said, "Rise, stand up on your feet," in verse 16, "for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make you a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen and of the things which you will in which I will appear to unto thee." He said, "delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom I now send thee." Jesus said to him, "Paul," he said, I've appeared to you for a purpose." He said, "I'm calling you to be a minister." And he said, "I want you," he said, to preach this message." He said, "I'm going to deliver you from the Jewish people. I'm going to deliver you from the Gentile people." He said, "But I'm going to send you to them." He's going to be, in other words, they're not going to be able to harm you. Then he says, and this is what the gospel is all about. Verse 18, somebody would say, well, what's the gospel all about? Well, this is right from the mouth of Jesus himself. This is what Jesus said. He said, "To open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me." That's the gospel. That they would turn from darkness to light, they would have their sins forgiven, and they would have a hope and by their faith in Jesus. That's basically what he's saying. And then Paul goes on in verse 19. Now you got to remember, he's talking to the king. He said, "Whereupon, O King Agrippa," he said, "I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision, but showed first unto them of Damascus, and then at Jerusalem, and through all the coast of Judea, and then to the Gentiles, that they should repent and turn to God and do works meet for repentance." And then he goes on, he said, "For this reason," he said, "for this cause, the Jews caught me in the temple and went about to kill me." Paul said, "The reason," he said, they took me in the temple and went about to kill me, he said, "because I'm preaching against their religion. I'm preaching the gospel of Christ." Now, the reason I want to touch on this story this morning, and we're just going to finish up in about 10 minutes. As Christians, the Bible tells us that we are to always be ready to give an answer for the hope that's within us. Now, don't misunderstand. Every one of us, if we have made Jesus the Lord of our lives, I'm not talking about just thinking you have, but if we've really made Jesus the Lord of our lives, people are going to see something different in our lives. They're going to see something different about you. And we changed to, I probably mentioned this the other day, we changed to Kojigo the other day, about a month ago, I guess. And a guy came to the house and he was there, hooking up the cables out to the pole and everything else and coming back in. And so I went out and I was talking to him and different things, and he came in and just casual talking. And so he came into the house after a while. He said, "Can I ask you a question?" He said, "Who are you?" He said, "What do you work at? What's going on?" And I said, "Why?" He said, "No, who are you?" And I said, "I'm a minister here in town." "Ah," he said, "that explains it." He said, "You're so kind." But the thing is, people are going to see something different in your life when Jesus is in there. Now, I wasn't trying to act kind because I was a minister, But the thing is, people are going to see a difference when Jesus is really living on the inside. People are going to see something change in your life. They're going to see some different than what's out in the world. And Paul was saying the same thing here. Paul says, and he stood up and he started to tell the change that took part in his life. Now, here's 3 points to a testimony. Okay, when you're talking to somebody and they say to you, "How come you're different than everyone else?" Don't say, "Well, I don't know, No, don't act like that. You say, maybe because I'm a Christian. Now, the world looks at Christianity sometimes as something that's crazy and off the wall, and and all, you know, that foolishness and the Bible stuff and all that. No, when they see a genuine change in somebody's life, they take notice of it. Here's your 3 points of a testimony. Here's what Paul did. Paul, first of all, he talked about how he lived before he became a Christian. Paul said, I thought, he said, that these, they were called the Way, the sect of the Nazarenes. He said, I thought that they were totally against God. I hated them. I did everything I could against them. I've told you the story before in Newfoundland years ago. Most of them had died off now, but some of the older pastors told stories that when they were growing up as teenagers, when people came in holding tent services, these are in towns that had no gospel message whatsoever, the Pentecostal assemblies came in, this group we were with, and they came in and they set up tents and they would preach the gospel and get people saved, and eventually churches would develop, you know, all these different things, and not only the Pentecostals, but other groups as well. But I heard the stories from the Pentecostal part because that's who I was affiliated with. And I'm sure the others could tell the same kind of stories. But they would tell stories about, they would have a big tent set up, and they would have a revival going up, big signs up and everything else, and loudspeakers outside and everything. And they would have these services going on, and, you know, probably for a week or two, and people were getting saved and things happening like that, and getting healed and delivered and things. And eventually, some of the young fellows in the towns would come around nighttime, and sometimes, one pastor talked to me, he said, the service was on in the service. And he said, half a dozen of us, he said, came down with butcher knives, and we went around and started cutting the ropes on the tents, and the old tent just caved in on everybody. You know, now they were rascals. There's no doubt about it. That's just putting a Christianity, you know, putting it in a Christian framework. They're rascals. But the thing is, they were a nuisance, and I'm sure people got upset and everything else. But here's the thing about it. These people that went around cutting the ropes, all of a sudden, they got saved, and they were pastors. First when I went to ministry back in 81, they were some of the pastors of some of the bigger churches in Newfoundland. And they were the biggest rascals, you know, when the church started out years ago, that tried to stop it. But this is what Paul was like. So your testimony first is telling how you were, you know, what your life was like before you became a Christian. You know, and I was reading a story one time about John Wesley. They said he was in a service, and John Wesley had some different problems in his life and his family, and his wife sometimes wasn't totally in agreement with what he was preaching, and she was mad at him all the time. Sometimes he'd dread to go back home and all these different things. And you think, you know, we hear all the good stories about him, but these were just real people that lived in real families like you're living in. And he said, anyway, he went into this service one time and said he stood up to preach. He said, but there were some fellows came in the back that knew him. It was almost like Paul right here. They knew him from somewhere else. And they came in and he said, oh, we know this fellow. And, you know, he started talking about all the different things. You know, and John Wesley stood up and he said, yes, he said, that's exactly what it was like. He said, but because of God's grace, he said, I'm up here today. You see, God's grace makes a difference. And anyway, he went on to give his testimony, and he said it was three of them. These three fellows came and gave their hearts to the Lord. You know, but you see, we talk about what we were like before, but then we talk about how we met Jesus. Well, for the Apostle Paul, it was very miraculous. He saw this light shine from heaven. He fell off the horseback. He fell down, and he heard a voice from heaven and all these different things. Now, that's not happening all the time. You don't hear that happening all the time. Now, I've heard of people that have had dramatic salvation experiences, but 99% of those that are saved has got just a quiet, you know, normal conversion experience. Maybe they cried a bit, maybe they, you know, probably at a church service, probably in your home looking at TV. Our brother Al mentioned one time how he's looking at Billy Graham on TV. Couldn't get the channel to change. Tried it and got mad at TV. Finally had to sit down and listen because nothing else to listen to, and gave his heart to the Lord. You know, now that's to me, that's miraculous. You know, but there's others of us, we just went into a service and we heard the gospel preached, we just came and knelt at the altar and asked God to forgive our sins and come into our lives. Make him the Lord of our lives. You know, but the thing is, we talk about how somehow we met Jesus. Every one of us got a different story. You say, well, mine's not important. Yes, it is important. It's the way that God reached you. You know, and so then we talk about how we were before we met Christ, how we met him, and how our life has changed today. And this is what Paul was talking about. He said, before I met Jesus, he said, I was hunting them down and killing them, putting them in prison. How I met him, he said, was on the road to Damascus. A light shone from heaven. I fell off the horseback. We all heard a voice and all these different things, the story we just read. And he said, now, he said, I started out in Damascus. That's the place where I started out in Damascus. And how it happened in Damascus, while he fell down off the horse, God spoke to another man that was saved in Damascus named Ananias. And God spoke to Ananias. He said, Ananias, he said, I want you to do something. He said, I want you to go down to a house on such and such a street and everything else. Straight street. And he said, there's a fellow there, he said, I want you to talk to. And up to that time, Ananias, I think, was pretty good. Okay, no problem. And he said, his name is Saul of Tarsus. That's like saying Osama bin Laden. His name is Saul of Tarsus. And Ananias said, hold on now. He said, I heard a lot about that fellow. He said, now he's taken the Christians, put them in prison, have them killed and all these other things. And he was saying, I've got nothing to do with him. And God said, I know all about that. He said, but he's a chosen vessel unto me. He said, I've appeared to him, in fact, and told him a man named Ananias is going to come and pray for him. How could you argue with that? And Ananias, the Bible says, went and prayed with Paul. Paul gave his heart to the Lord, was delivered. The blindness lifted from his eyes because he was blind from the light, the Bible says, and he was set free. But here's the thing about it. Every one of us, we've got to give an account, the Bible says, of ourselves before the Lord. But the Bible also tells us that we must be ready to always give an answer for the hope that's within us. In your testimony, you say, well, I don't have a big testimony. Listen, we don't have time now because we've got 2 minutes left. We don't have time. But I could ask you to give a testimony this morning. You say, no, not me. I don't have a testimony. Yes, you do have a testimony. It could be the most boring thing in the world to you, but to someone else is going through the very same thing. You know, your testimony, how you lived before you met Jesus. Then your second part is how I met him. It was in a church service on a Friday night. Remember that? It was on a Monday. It was on a Tuesday. It was on a Friday, whatever. Somebody touched me. How did you meet Jesus? Then thirdly, what has changed in my life since then? There's going to be an outward change when there's something takes place on the inside. And I question now, I probably shouldn't do it, but I question sometimes the people that say, you know, I gave my heart to the Lord, and yet for all, they still hang out in the clubs, they still go and do this, they go, you know, do everything else, nothing has changed. I doubt very much if you really did meet the Lord. You went through the motions, but it never took a hold down here. You know, when you truly meet Jesus, every last person in the scriptures that met Jesus went home different. You'll be different. Now, it might not happen in the first half an hour or the first two or three days, but within a week or two, you're going to start to see some things change in your life. People are going to ask you, what's changed about you? What happened? There's going to be a change. And that's what Paul was talking about. Now, I challenge every one of you. When somebody says to you sometimes, and if you're living a right life that's right, people are going to notice that there's something different about you. I'm serious. People are going to notice that there's something different about you. And when they ask, don't be ashamed. Jesus, if you're ashamed before of me before men, he said, I'll be ashamed of you when you stand before my Father. So don't be ashamed. Just casually tell him. Listen, don't get in the arguments with Scripture. You'll waste your time. You'll turn blue in the face and get mad and everything else, and they'll get mad at you because all you do is just bouncing ideas back and forth, beliefs back and forth. But when you start talking about the change that took place in your life, listen, I was an alcoholic. But after I met Jesus, things have changed. My life has changed. I don't have the desire for that anymore. God will say, listen, you know how many rehab centers are out there trying to get people off alcohol? Trying to get them off drugs? I've seen people delivered just like that. You get a testimony. Tell them what God has done for you. You know, you say, well, I never got involved with alcohol. Neither did I. But I can tell you the difference. There was something that took place in my life when I gave my heart to the Lord, 9 years old. But man, I knew there was something different. I knew, and you know, there was a change. At 9 years old even. You know, and every one of us, we have a testimony for the Lord. Still before creation, eternity in your hands, and you spoke the earth into motion, my soul now to stand. You still before my face.